Simone will talk about OKD virtualization. Enjoy.
So, hi all. Nice to see you here. Today we are going to talk about OKD virtualization. We are going to have just a quick intro for who doesn't really know what OKD virtualization is, just to get a bit of context. Then we are going to see how you can use a CRC to play with OKD virtualization at home in a really small footprint, just if you want to try it or if you want to start developing on OKD virtualization. We are going to see a couple of new features. I choose this one because they are cloud native. I think that they are a bit different from what you used to see in related kind of products. And then we are going to see next challenges for us. So let's start from OKD. What OKD is? OKD is a distribution of Kubernetes. It's a sibling distribution of OpenShift Container Platform, which is the Red Hat distribution of Kubernetes. OKD is the community of the upstream release of that. It's based on physical machines that can be bare metal or virtual machines on hyperscaler. In our case, it will be better to use bare metal nodes just because we are talking about a virtualization solution. Then we are going to have hosts there that nowadays are based on Fedora CoreOS, but then we are going to see that this is going to change. Then we have all the Kubernetes stack, and you can use it to start your application. Now, what is KubeVirt? KubeVirt is a set of virtualization APIs for Kubernetes. So you can extend Kubernetes in order to be able to run virtual machines that runs in containers on your Kubernetes infrastructure. At the end, it's still using the KVM hypervisor. It's able to schedule and manage virtual machines as if they are native Kubernetes objects. It's what is its main advantages? Is that it's cloud native. It means that you can use all the Kubernetes stack, so the container networking interface for the network, the container storage interface that you are already using on Kubernetes for the storage. It's based on customer source definition and customer source that are a way to extend Kubernetes with a new API. It can schedule virtual machine as native Kubernetes object, and you can manage them to talk with what you already developed as a microservice. So in an ideal world, you are going to rewrite your application from scratch, completely split it into microservices. In the real world, probably you have a bit of legacy code or something that is already running in a virtual machine. When are you supposed to schedule it? On an external hypervisor or on the same infrastructure that you're using for your microservices with the capability to have them talking natively to your virtual machines? KubeVirt is the response for this challenge. Now, how can you test it at home? You can easily try it with a CRC. CRC is a really quick way to start playing, debugging, hacking on OpenShift in general. CRC is a micro distribution of OpenShift that runs in a virtual machine that can be executed on your laptop. It's absolutely not intended for production usage. It's going to be executed in a virtual machine, so it's a single node cluster. It's not going to scale out. It's not going to support upgrades. It's just a test platform. In order, here just a few instructions if you want to try it at home. Since we are talking about a virtualization product and you are running it in CRC, which is a virtual machine as well, you need to enable nested virtualization on your laptop in order to be able to start virtual machines inside the CRC one. then you can tune the configuration. Normally CRC comes with a really small configuration. If I'm not wrong, it's about 9 gigs of RAM, which is not that small, but it's just enough to run the OKD by itself. If you want to think about playing with a couple of virtual machines and so on, probably it's better to extend the memory up to at least 20 gigs in order to be able to do something realistic. Also nice that CRC already comes with a kubevirt hostpath provisioner, which is a way to dynamically provision PV, persistent volumes for your virtual machines. Because as you can imagine, a pod is something ephemeral, while your virtual machine needs a persistent volume. You need a way to provide persistent volumes for your virtual machines. CRC is just a virtual machine where you can run other virtual machines inside, but you still need a mechanism to provide persistent volumes for that. It's already integrated in CRC, but you have to extend its disk in order to have a bit of space to create disks. At the end, you have just to execute a couple of commands, CRC setup and CRC start. After a few minutes, you are going to have to gain the access to your environment. You can connect, of course you can do everything also from the command line. Probably much of you are going to prefer using the command line. Here I'm using, I attached a screenshot to the presentation just because they are nicer. So you can connect to the user interface, to the admin user interface, where you have the operator hub page. In the operator hub page, you are going to find already there, because it's distributed to the via the operator hub mechanism, you are going to find the kubevirt hyperconverged cluster operator. As I mentioned, you don't need to configure the storage, so you are only supposed to install the operator and create a CR to trigger the operator, but the storage is already pre-configured. After a while, you will be asked to create the first CR for the operator in order to configure it. Here you can fine-tune the configuration of OKD virtualization for your specific cluster. In particular, we have a stanza called the feature gates, where you can enable optional features. And here we are going to talk about two features. One of them is already enabled by default, which is enable common boot boot image import, and the other is deploy Tekton task resources. This one is not enabled by default, but if you want to do at home what we are going to see now, you have to enable it. You can enable it also at day two. So after a few minutes, the operator is installed. It's going to also extend the UI with a new tab, where you can see what you can do with your virtual machines. So now let's start talking about one of the... In the last year, we introduced a lot of features, but today I want to talk about two of them. The first one is golden images. Why I think that it's interesting. Nowadays, if you think to any public cloud environment on public hyperscalers, you are going to find it's really used to use them. Why? Because you can find their images for your preferred operative systems already available. You have just to select one of them, click, and in a matter of minutes, you are going to get a virtual machine that it's running. You don't need to upload your disk, you don't need to upload eventually an ISO, start defining your virtual machine and so on. They are really convenient. We want to have the same experience also in kubevirt. So we introduced this feature. The whole idea is that we are going to have, we already have a container registry which contains some images with the disk image for your virtual machines that are going to be periodically refreshed to include new features of their operative systems or security fixes. Then we have this new object called the data import cron, which is going to say that you want to periodically pull an image from that container registry with a schedule and import it in your cluster. There is some mechanism in order to configure the garbage collecting, the retention policy, but in the retention policy, but at the end, the idea is that you are going to find images for popular operative systems out of the box already available in your cluster. And they are going to be refreshed over the time. So each time you... Now, let's see it. This is the catalog for in order to create virtual machines in the user interface of OKD virtualization. We have a catalog with objects. The whole feature is here. As you can see, for popular operative systems, we already have a nice label saying that the source is already available. It means that this new feature automatically imported for you a golden image of that operative system, and it's going to continuously keep it up to date. The benefit is that when you want to start a virtual machine, you will be able to do it with a single click. You can customize the name, you can say in which namespace it's going to be executed, but everything is already ready. With one click, you are going to start your virtual machine. What is going to happen on the storage side? We see that we have some existing persistent volume claims for the disk that got automatically imported. One of them is going to be cloned to be your virtual machine. Depending on the CSI implementation, this can be even completely offloaded to the CSI provider, and it can be really fast. After a few minutes, your virtual machine is there. And as you can see, through Cloud Init or SysPrep or whatever, it can be also customized to use a custom name and so on. So, how a data import cron look like? We are saying that we want to have a data source named Fedora with a schedule, with the usual cron syntax. We want to periodically consume images that are available on Quay, which is a Docker register. Here you can see the status, and the image is up to date, meaning the most fresh version of Fedora got automatically imported in your cluster. The important thing is that if you look here, you see that the tag for the Fedora image is the latest. It means when the next release of Fedora is going to come out, it's going to be automatically available in your cluster. Of course, we are providing images for Fedora, for CentOS, but you can use the same mechanism, the same infrastructure, to import on your cluster your own images. You can create custom data source, custom data import crons. Now I want to talk about an additional really nice feature, which is KubeVirt Tecton task pipelines. In the previous section, we see that we are able to import images for popular operative system, but maybe there is some other operative system that requires to create a virtual machine, starting from an ISO and installing it. And so how can we automate it? We cannot expect that the provider of all the operative systems in the world are going to use this mechanism and publish images for us. We need a way to be able to automate the creation of the images for other operative systems. In this case, we are going to use a Tecton pipeline to automate this. What Tecton is? Tecton, also known as OpenShift Pipelines, is a cloud-native continuous integration and continuous delivery solution. It's also cloud-native, and it's fully based on Kubernetes resources. It uses what are called Tecton blocks to automate tasks, abstracting the infrastructures. In the Tecton world, we have tasks. A task is something that defines a set of a build step, like compiling a code, running tests, or building and deploying images. In our case, we are now interested in deploying images, but as you can imagine, you can combine it with other tasks. Then you can define a pipeline. A pipeline is a set of orchestrated tasks, And then you can use a pipeline resource, which is a set of inputs that are going to be injected into the execution of your pipeline, which is a pipeline run. On KubeVirt Tecton task operator, we introduced some specific tasks to create, update, and manage the specific KubeVirt resources, so virtual machines, data volumes, data sources, templates, and so on. You are able to populate disk images, even with libgestfs to inject files and so on. You are able to execute scripts, bash or PowerShell and whatever. We have a set of tasks I don't want to give you, but some are already available. We are extending one. And we have an operator that is going to populate the task for you on your cluster. Now we want to see an example pipeline. This pipeline is going, we have two pipelines that are going to be injected by the Tecton task operator. The first one is called the Windows 10 installer. It's going to populate a golden image for Windows 10 according to some input that you are going to provide. The idea is that it's going to copy a template, it's going to modify a template, and it's going to start installing Windows from the ISO, and it's going to create a virtual machine for you. We can see a small demo. Sorry. So here is the pipeline. We can we have to provide a few inputs. In particular, we have to provide the ISO of Windows that we want to install. And it's the first yes, there, perfect. Here we see the pipeline. The pipeline is going to copy the template, it's going to modify it, it's going to create a first VM that it's used in order to install Windows, and then create the Windows image from that VM. Here is, now we are simply going to see what is happening, but everything is fully automated, you don't really have to watch it. But if you like, you can also see it live. Here it's our virtual machine, and as you can see, it's starting, it's booting, and it's going to install Windows. We have also a second pipeline. I have a demo for that. It's called the Windows Customize. Probably we are a bit already over time. The idea of the second pipeline is that you can customize this image running additional steps like installing the software that you need or modifying the image, that it's going to be one of the golden images that you are going to provide in your cluster. So let's move back. And so this is the second one. I'm going to skip the demo, but if you have any question, please reach me. The idea is that we can use this pipeline in this case to install SQL Server and so on. What's next? OKD is going to change. Now, in the beginning, I told you that now it's OKD, it's based on Fedora CoreOS. We are going to have a big change there, which is called OKD CentOS Streams, which means that the nodes of OKD are going to be based on CentOS Stream. And so it's going to be a really upstream for OpenShift Container Platform, which where the nodes are based on Red Hat CoreOS. CentOS Stream is the upstream of Red Hat CoreOS. Everything on CentOS Stream is going to be built as well using Tecton pipelines, just because we really believe in that project. On OKD virtualization side, we are going to introduce many features. We're going to add more pipelines, more automation. We are working on ARM support. We are working on better backup to APIs. We are working to reduce the privileges of the pods that really execute the virtual machines. We are working on the real-time area. And here a few links if you want to reach us. Thank you.
Questions?
Sure.
There's already OpenStack and Kata containers, and I wonder how does OKD compares or integrates or overlaps with these two projects?
The question is, we already have other projects like OpenStack, Kata containers. I want to understand how KubeVirt compares to them. So the first idea is that in KubeVirt we are managing virtual machines as first-class citizen on Kubernetes. You can define a virtual machine with a custom resource, because Kubernetes provides a mechanism called the custom resource definition to provide customer new APIs. You can use them to define a virtual machine as a really native object that is going to be scheduled by the Kubernetes orchestrator alongside pods and other resources. The main benefit is that you can expose you can use the same storage that you are using for your pods. You can have your pods talking at the network level with virtual machine natively without the need to configure tunnels and so on, because virtual machines are running on the lower stack, like if you have OpenStack under Kubernetes. Virtual machine is going to be a first-class citizen of this infrastructure.
So it integrates with OpenStack?
Not really integrated. If we go here, okay. Here the idea is that we have something here, which in our case probably is going to be bare metal nodes, but it can be also another hyperscaler. But in that case, you need nested virtualization, which is not always the best idea. Then you have Linux host nodes, now with Fedora CoreOS, but in the future with CentOS streams. And here you have your Kubernetes stack. Kubernetes is going to schedule pods as containers on those nodes, and virtual machines there. So you don't really care of what you have on the last level. Okay, so he asked, the question is, you showed how to use a pipeline in order to prepare an image for Windows. Isn't it simpler to directly use a Docker file to create a container? So in theory it is, but you have to start from an already running virtual machine and take the disk, because Microsoft is providing an ISO with a tool that you have to execute. But you have to execute it. I mean, you have to execute the binary of the installer. So you have to, at the least, you are, at the end, you are manually running something that it's going to install Windows. And at the end, you need to take a snapshot, which is going to be your image. You want to automate it. You want to continuously execute it in order to fetch updates. How we solved this, we automated it with a pipeline, because we have a set of tasks, and so the pipeline is the most smart way to execute and monitor them. Sure? Last one?
Which format are the golden image disks using?
which format are used for the operative system disks? Oh, do we support other format? No. So just row. Thank you. Time is up, but if you want, please reach me outside.